we've just started to go through Jesus' sign miracles that point to Jesus' identity as the Son of God. And so we come to the healing of a royal official's son. Let's read the word of God together. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they were also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met with him and the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when the son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And so he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Don't worry, I'm not going to sort of, it's not audience participation time just yet. So you don't have to kind of shout out or articulate this, but I thought I'd begin by asking a question. Because no doubt there'll be a few people here that might not follow Jesus. But if you do, can I just ask, how did that begin for you? How did you become a Christian? Was it a one-off moment? Was it a process over time? Maybe it's a series of events that happened that ended up in you believing. Whatever it was, whenever it was, wherever it was, there is one thing that has to happen to us all. And that is, at some point, we have to take Jesus at his word. That is, believing and trusting Jesus' promises about God. And relationship with God, and heaven, and earth, and our life on this earth, even when it gets really difficult. And so I ask this question, and I say this, as this is what happens in this account, this account of a miraculous healing, the healing of this royal official's son. The father of the son eventually takes Jesus at his word. And I say eventually because faith doesn't happen straight away. There's a process in this man's life. A series of events over a short period of time, a day or a few days, but Jesus brings him to a T-junction. What's he going to do? Is he going to trust in Jesus? Is he going to hold on to the promises that Jesus has just given him? Well, yes, he is. And he takes Jesus at his word. And he trusts in Jesus when life has suddenly got very difficult indeed. And when he did that, the light comes on in this man's heart and mind. It was like the final piece in the jigsaw for him. And he could see who he was trusting in. And he believes. And as a result, his family believe and his servants too. It's what a transformation, what a change in this man's home. And it's the second sign miracle of John's gospel. The one we looked at a couple of weeks ago was Jesus turning water into wine. Sign miracles because each one is a sign, a clue pointing to Jesus' identity as the Son of God. But as we go through this passage together, and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, even in the midst of our difficulties, there will be change for the better in our homes too. It's very reminiscent of other accounts in the Bible where Jesus heals miraculously but yet remotely. It reminds me of the time where Jesus heals the servant of a Roman centurion, also from Capernaum. He believed that all Jesus would have to do was say the word from where he was. Just give the order as he, a centurion, gave orders, and his servant, Jesus, his servant would be healed. And indeed, Jesus turns to the crowd and said of him that he had not seen faith like this man in all of Israel. And so it's a similar account, but yet it's different. In that faith was already there in the centurion, but here faith needs to grow in this man. It needs to grow in this royal official's heart. Faith grows through an abrupt conversation. It grows out of following Jesus' instruction. But firstly, it grows from a place of utter desperation. Suddenly, it seems his son has become terribly ill in Capernaum. And no doubt he didn't want to do this, to leave his bedside, but he had to, and he travelled to Cana in Galilee. And we don't know why he travelled at first, perhaps to find some medicine, perhaps to come across one of the many dubious healers going around town to town at such a time. But clearly he had heard something of the authentic healing power of Jesus. It says when he heard Jesus was in Galilee. And he went to him there in Cana, and he saw him, and he begged him to come back with him to heal his son. And it's that word begged, isn't it, that works in the imagination. He no doubt fell on his knees in a crumpled mess, this royal official at the feet of a carpenter's son. The trials of life are such a great leveler, aren't they? It's a picture of desperation. It's clear at this point the man doesn't believe. It's clear from the words of the passage that we read, he believes later after following Jesus' instruction and the healing of his son. But faith grows from this place of desperation. Job troubles, sudden ill health for us or someone close to us, sometimes can force the most nominal believer, even actually a strong unbeliever, suddenly to their knees, seeking supernatural help, God's healing power. And it seems that Jesus has become a kind of last resort, if you like, for this royal official, but better late than never. Now, don't get me wrong, because Jesus would prefer that he is the first support in any situation, not last resort in a desperate situation. And maybe you've treated Jesus as a desperate last resort. I know that I certainly have. It's how I became a Christian. It's how I came to faith. In fact, it's true, isn't it? For so many, brokenness, disappointment, despair and desperation are God's starting points for a journey of faith towards his son. And so maybe life has gone pear-shaped for you recently. Maybe that's why you're here today. Well, if so, don't despair. God uses his desperate situations. He used it in the life of the royal official, and maybe he wants to use your situation too. But he's so gracious. He never says, oh, now that you're coming to me, now that you're picking up the phone and dialing 999, he never says, now I've given you enough chances. He doesn't say that. Without fail, he comes into our situations. He uses our emergencies and sudden cries for help to bring us and lead us to a place where we might go out on a limb and trust in him for our lives and the lives of those that we love. And for the royal official, he had heard something positive or powerful about the life of Jesus, and that was enough to go seeking his healing power. And he responds, if you like, to this growing reputation of Jesus. He heard about Jesus, was in Galilee, and went to him. Jesus must have been the talk of the town. In Galilee, this is the place where we read earlier, he turned water into wine. He's worked in amazing places and in all sorts of people. And so you can imagine the kinds of things that people must have been saying about Jesus in the synagogues, on the street corners, in the marketplace, around the family meal tables. And it got me thinking. Jesus should be the talk of this town, Brixworth Community Church, should he not? Certainly amongst ourselves here, Jesus is here, his presence by his spirit is here. We heard already even this week that he's been working amazing ways. And so are we increasing his reputation? Because life goes difficult. Sudden dramas can strike those around us at any time. And who will they go seeking? Where will they go to find wisdom and strength and peace and healing and provision? Well, they will go to Jesus, if Jesus is the talk of this town. Firstly, the man and his faith grows out of a desperate situation. Secondly, it grows from an abrupt conversation. It's a conversation that takes you by surprise, really, as it appears on first reading that Jesus is somewhat harsh. But the royal official is lacking faith here. It's like he needs to see the miracle with his own two eyes. It's like he needs to be there. He says in verse 47, come and heal my son. And in verse 49, it reiterates it, doesn't it? He says, come down before my child dies. And of course, it's all very public and dramatic, and the crowds must have gathered, and they must have all getting very excited. And so Jesus is abrupt, and he turns to the crowd, and first of all, he wants to speak to them. And he says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. And Jesus is saying to the crowd, you're not here because you believe in me. You're here for a miracle. You're here for entertainment. This here, it's not entertainment. That was the message to the crowd. But the royal official, he needs to learn something else, because it's interesting that Jesus does heal, but not in the way he was demanding. We can't demand things of Jesus. Jesus will work and heal and bless sometimes, but not always as we choose. He'll work how he chooses. His ways are not our ways. But there's something else. Jesus also knows that faith built on the miraculous signs will not be a faith that grows. It will be incomplete. It will be fickle. We will only drift away. So I wonder what would have happened if, after begging Jesus to come and heal his son, that Jesus got up and picked him by the hand and they went off to Capernaum with the crowd in tow, and they turned up at Capernaum, the house, and Jesus raised the son. What would have happened then? I wonder if the man would have drifted away. I think even of Jesus' ministry, in the beginning, thousands, it says, are following Jesus around, marveling at Jesus' signs and wonders, the central part, if you like, of his early part of his ministry. But in the end, when the emphasis has changed and it's less about the miracles and more about the cross, isn't it interesting? They have all disappeared, every single one of them. And so today, many people on so many occasions find themselves in a desperate situation. They cry out to God for his help, and he helps them. But then they don't take it any further. And quicker or slowly, whatever it is, they slowly drift away and they forget God's blessing. We are so fickle. Are we not? So let me encourage you. It's really fantastic. The new folk come week by week to Brixworth Community Church, and we've done some baptisms and new memberships, and we'll do some more, no doubt, in the new year. But without this, the Bible in our friendships and ministries, new folk, those who are new, or those perhaps who've been here for many years, without this, we'll all drift away. Not necessarily drift away from Brixworth Community Church, whatever. I'm talking about drifting away from the Lord. For whatever reason, the trappings of wealth, trouble, just being conformed to the pattern of this world. Jesus says this, doesn't he, in the parable of the sower. And so our friendships with one another, they're really important to us, and having a coffee and a catch-up is really important. But hey, I want to encourage us all. I want to say in our friendships that we're making with one another, why don't we suggest to one another, hey, should we read the Bible together? Because our faith needs to be based not just what on Jesus does, but also what on he says. So we, like the royal official, can take Jesus at his word and we can trust and follow him. Only then can the light truly be switched on in our hearts. And I've said it before and I'll say it again and again and again. This is something you will hear from me quite a lot. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness but have the light of life. Well, the light of the life comes on only after the following. And so here faith grows out of a desperate situation. It grows out of an abrupt conversation. And it also grows after following some life-saving instructions for the royal official and for us. Because when we do, holding on to Jesus' promises through the twists and the turns and the sudden nightmares, even through, no matter what Jesus might choose to do or allow for good reasons, only then will we realize who it is that we're trusting in. And of course, we're trusting in Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is in and through and above all things. Step out in this way, God will bring anyone through any situation. Not necessarily how we want. He will not necessarily do what it is that we want or demand, but he will bring us through every situation. It says that he gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Step out in faith in this way. God can bring anyone through to saving faith in Jesus Christ. After all, that's what it says in the key verse at the end of John's Gospel. It says, these things were written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. But isn't it true also that sometimes God brings us to T-junctions in our lives where kind of it comes to crunch point. Things build to a head, the pressure, the difficulty, whatever it is that's come to light, the circumstances of our life, and he says to us, okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust in me? Because there's blessing ahead for this royal official and his son and his household. There's a blessing ahead, but he has got to go out on a limb. He's got to take a risk. And he has to place his trust in Jesus Christ. This is definitely going on here for this royal official. But only then, and going out on a limb and trusting Jesus, will the light get switched on in his life. And I am sure that in that moment that would have been hard for the royal official to do that. I am sure that would have been hard for the royal official to go back to Capernaum alone. And for those who haven't in the room and they perhaps haven't been a Christian for a while, it's sometimes difficult to go out on a limb, trusting in Jesus' promises. Particularly when life and circumstances kind of strip us down to the bare bones and we feel so vulnerable. But yet the older Christians, the mature Christians in the room, will know by experience that when we do that and we take Jesus at his word, that we're never alone. And you will know also that life never really works out how we expect. It doesn't change who Jesus is. That he's the Son of God. And that he's always faithful to his promise and his promises. Promises such as, and many will know this, that promises such as he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that actually he is good. And that he does work all things for good for those who love him. There's blessing out there ahead of us. But we have to take Jesus at his word. And yet, isn't it interesting? The greatest blessing, and you can easily miss it in this passage, the greatest blessing is faith in Jesus Christ. Relationship with God forever. Not being separated from God for all eternity, but in a relationship with God for all eternity by trusting and following Jesus. That's the greatest blessing in this passage for this royal official. Not the healing of his son. the healing of his son. He finds out that it's happened. He's on his way. The servants come out and they find out that actually his son did get healed. As at the exact time that Jesus says, go, your son will live. But he goes, and that completely transforms his life because he comes to believe. And as he comes to believe, God uses his faith in the life of his home, his family and his servants, and he goes back home and they believe. And the whole home is completely transformed. That's the greatest miracle in this story. And if we allow faith to grow out of our desperation, if we take the fact that sometimes Jesus talks to us abruptly on occasions, and we take what he says, and then we take his word and we follow his promises and we go out on a limb and we trust in him, our lives, our homes will be transformed too. Amen. Amen. May God bless his word to us.